Good morning, everyone. We'll make a wee start to our service of worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 40 in our own hymn book, the first hymn in the order of service. Worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded of praise. A great hymn of praise, reminding us of the greatness of the God of heaven, the one in whom we worship today through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stand as we sing, and let us really sing it out with all of our hearts as the organist leads us in our praise, please. Just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let us look to the Lord, praying that we might know the Lord's help and blessing, speaking voice in our midst this morning. Glad to have the Reverend Gordon Ferguson with us this morning. Master, brother, if you just kindly lead us to the throne of grace and prayer, please. Thank you.
Our loving God, we bow with reverence in thy presence today, and with thanksgiving that we are found in thy house. We thank thee that this is a special day. We thank thee that on this day our Saviour rose victorious from the grave. And we thank you that every Sabbath day we can celebrate and we can praise and exalt thy name. We thank you for the words that we have been singing. O worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and his love. We pray, Lord, that thou would draw near to us, that thy loving hand will rest upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy of health and strength, the ability to be found in the house of God. And we thank you more than the things that we receive temporarily. We thank you for what we receive spiritually. We were lost, we were undone. We think of how Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Think, Lord, of how sin has been passed down through each succeeding generation. We realise that unless a remedy had been found, every one of us would have been doomed and eventually damned. We praise thee for Christ. Thank you that he was willing to come. He was not compelled to leave heaven's glory. He came as a volunteer. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the mighty miracles he performed, the gracious words that he spoke. And we thank you that when the appointed time came, he did not resist arrest. He subjected himself to the trial and the scourging and the crucifixion. We thank you that his precious blood was shed. And thy word says, without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Thank you for his resurrection, for his ascension, for his intercession at God's right hand. And as we bow before thee, we thank you for all here who are saved. Bless each one, bless every home represented. Remember too, O God, those who are here, perhaps in a backslidden condition, or perhaps still unsaved. Have mercy upon them. Break them down. Turn their hearts to Christ. Bless thy servant who ministers here. We thank you for him. Bless him and his wife and family and the work of this congregation. May it continue to reach out into the community. May it make an impact for God. And may many through its witness be brought to the Saviour. We pray not only for this congregation. We pray for every faithful witness. For Christ is named. For Christ is loved and honored. May power be given to all of thy servants to declare the truth of God. We are mindful too of the state of our nation. How far down we have gone. We plead with thee to bless us. Remember our Queen in her lonely hours, in the trials she has to undertake. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless her, and that thou wilt remember all our royal family in a time of deep need, in a time indeed of shame. May thy hand be upon those who rule over us, bless those who defend us, and those who look after us in times of sickness. We also pray, Lord, that thou wilt spread thy truth across the face of the earth. Remember those who serve thee on the mission field, as well as those who serve thee on the home front. And we think, Lord, of those who are aged, those who are infirm, those who are cast down, those who are facing critical periods in their lives. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon them. Be with us today as we listen to thy word. We pray for the anointing of thy servant, that he might be filled with the matter, that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So hear us and shut us in with thyself, and defeat the devil in all his attempts to distract us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for leading us in prayer. We're going to turn in God's Word this morning for our scripture reading to the Old Testament book of the Psalms. We're turning, please, to Psalm 122 for our scripture reading today. You'll find the book of the Psalms in the middle part of the Old Testament. And we're turning to Psalm 122 and beginning a reading just at the verse 1 of the Psalm. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this morning. Psalm 122 and the verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 9. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us today. We bid you a very special welcome in the name of the Lord. Indeed, if you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home and know the blessing of the Lord in your heart and soul with us today around God's Word. And if you're a believer, may you be encouraged and strengthened in your walk with God and led on with the Lord, your Savior, today. And if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer, our burden is that even this very day you'll come as a sinner unto Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior. Also welcome those who may be listening in online today, wherever you are, whoever you are. We pray the Lord will draw near to you and meet you at the very point of your need today. The announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight before the gospel service at 6:30, just in the prayer room at the back. Encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer. And then the gospel meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll be along, God willing, to bring God's word. Tonight we'll be speaking upon the subject of God's remedy for sin. So do remember that, pray for it. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. And also our brother, Mr. George Walker from Lurgan, will be with us to sing in the gospel. So pray for him as he comes, that he know God's help and blessing, even in the ministry in song. So do remember that this evening at 7 p.m. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We'd be long to take that meeting. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer and Bible study on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. That'll be followed by a meeting of the church session. Ask the brethren of the session could just remember that at 9:30 on Tuesday evening, please. Friday night, 6:30, the Bethel Children's Meeting here in the church. Remember the other children's meetings as well throughout the week. And then that will be followed by the Youth Fellowship Meeting at 8 p.m. And we commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather really from P7 and upwards and come along and invite and encourage others in. Our brother Colin will be bringing God's Word to the youth on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 29th of January, a Sunday School and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service at 12 noon. We belong to bring God's Word. And then the gospel meeting at night at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. will be a form of a special testimony meeting. A young brother from our Randallstown Church, Mr. Matthew Hunter, will be long to tell of how the Lord has saved him and of how the Lord has delivered him from a life of drug addiction. So pray for him as he comes. We encourage you to make it known and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Maybe there's somebody in your family circle, maybe somebody at school, work, whatever, your community, maybe they're involved in drugs in some way. Make that known to them especially, and do all you can to invite them and encourage them in under the sound of God's Word, especially the young in our community. And there are wee invites for that. They're out on the table in the porch. We commend those to you. Take a handful with you this morning as you leave and give them out this week to friends and neighbors and people that you work with, and invite them along to that testimony meeting next Lord's Day evening in the will of the Lord. So do remember that. Both services next Lord's Day preceded by the half hour of prayer. And then our Ladies' Fellowship meeting will be commencing on Monday evening, the 14th of February at 8 p.m. here in the church. And that meeting will be the second Monday of each month. And that ladies' fellowship meeting is open to all the ladies of the congregation, young, middle-aged, maybe more senior, whatever. All ladies are most welcome. So we encourage you to pray for this meeting as it commences. Pray that the Lord's blessing would be upon it, that it indeed will be a means of outreach even to other ladies in our community, and it also be a means of strengthening the fellowship amongst the ladies here in our congregation month by month. So do remember that. That's commencing on Monday evening, the 14th of February at 8 p.m. And then recently we made an announcement regarding an appeal just for church cleaners here in the church, and one lady has kindly offered to help with this, but there is a need for another lady just to team up with her to share in that work. And if there is another lady here in the congregation, you can help with this. Very important aspect of God's service here in the church. Pray about this and give it some thought and ask if this is a way that maybe the Lord could help you minister here. And if you can, then let me know or our clerk of session know as soon as possible. Thank you again for your help and your consideration in this matter. Thank you indeed. Now that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again to our second hymn. It's number 54 in our hymn book, the second hymn just in our wee order of service. It's a great gospel hymn, great words of truth. It says, "Great God of wonders, all thy ways are worthy of thyself divine, but the fair glories of thy grace beyond thine other wonders shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free?" That's the one of the great truths of the gospel, that God is one who forgives sins. Through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know the forgiveness of all of our sins. Indeed, if you're here today and you're not saved, the prayer is that you'll come to rest upon Christ and to trust in Christ as Savior, so that you too might know the forgiveness of all of your sins by Almighty God. We'll keep our seats while we sing. We don't take up an offering. The offering plates are at the rear there. You can remember that just as you leave after the service. We'll keep our seats as we sing, and singing it out heartily unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, turn again, please, to that psalm that we read earlier, please, to Psalm 122. And just with God's word open before us, let us unite our hearts together, please, in a brief word of prayer, praying that we'll know just God's help and blessing around his word today. Our Father and our God, we do thank thee for thy presence with us already in our gathering today. We thank thee for the singing of thy praises, the reading of thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless these truths already to our hearts and to our souls that we've sung and read together. And Lord, as we come now to meditate upon thy word, to consider it for a season, Lord, our prayer would be that thou would open up our hearts, even like Lydia's of old, even from the very youngest to the oldest, Lord, in this gathering, that we might hear what God the Lord would say. We pray that thou wilt hide man far behind the cross today. We pray that in everything that is said and done, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified. And Lord, bless thy word to every heart. Lord, may thy word be blessed and used to the strengthening and the building up of every believer in Christ in this meeting. And Lord, for any who might be cold at heart, may there be that rekindling again of that first love experience to Christ within their soul, we ask. And Lord, for any with us today still outside of Christ, a stranger to grace and a stranger to God, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even today they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Undertake now, we pray, pour out thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, and have thy way in every heart, and do every heart much good today. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, if you look at the psalm before us there today, Psalm 122, you'll see that the inspired title of that psalm is A Song of Degrees of David. And that tells us, yes, that David was the penman of the psalm. And David, yes, penned the psalm in particular for the Jews to sing at the feasts of worship in Jerusalem. Though the temple was not yet constructed, David, yes, was looking forward in faith to that time when it would be built by his son Solomon. Thus, when ancient Israel would come up to Jerusalem to worship, the psalm was to be sung as an expression and a burden of their desire for God's blessing and God's favor upon them and upon God's ancient people as they met together for worship. Yes, in many ways we can say that this psalm is really, if you like, a manual for Christian worship of the Lord. For as well as instruction for God's people in the day of the psalmist David, there are many vital lessons also in the psalm for God's people to consider in their worship of the Lord today. Yes, the words of this psalm are most relevant wherever God's people unite together in the public place of the worship of the Lord. Yes, in the psalm here before us, there's much to encourage the believer in the worship of Christ, He who is the only King and head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. As we look then at this psalm, there are three important lessons I want us just to note and I want to leave with you regarding this vital matter of God's people and their public worship of the Lord. The first thing I want you to see here is the manner in which the believer is to worship the Lord. You see that particularly in verse 1 of the psalm, and the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice that word glad. It speaks of joy, speaks of jubilation, it speaks of delight. Yes, these words here, they speak of delight and going to God's house, going to the place for public worship, to worship the Lord. Yes, through the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament, God had promised to meet with his people as they assembled together for public worship.
The Shekinah glory was that cloud that really signified God's presence among His people. Therefore, the psalmist here speaks of gladness. He speaks of joy and going to worship. Why? Because he knew that there he would meet with the Lord, his God, his Savior, his all in all. And in like fashion, believer, yes, you and I also should gladly attend the public place of worship, the house of God. Yes, we should go to worship God in the public place of worship with joy, with gladness and delight in our soul. Why? Because the Lord has promised to meet with us in the place of worship in a very special and in a very particular way and particular manner. You think of the words of Christ, that great promise that He gave in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18 and the verse number 20. He says, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst." Yes, the Lord indeed is omnipresent, and my His presence can be known all over this world. But God has promised in a very special, deliberate, particular way to draw near to His people, whoever they are, wherever they are, whenever they come together to worship the Lord in a public fashion. People, that is something we must always realize when we come to the house of God to worship. And people, in the Lord's presence, the Bible tells us that there is fullness of joy. Indeed, we are told that it is God's presence that makes the feast to the soul and the hearts of God's people. We're to come to God's house with joy in our hearts, joy and gladness in our souls. But also in attending the place of public worship as believers, we are those who are but obeying God's will for our lives as Christians. Turn with me your Bible over to Hebrews and chapter number 10. And look at what we read there in verse 24 and verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter number 10. Notice what the apostle says here to God's people, especially relevant to the matter of public worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And there the apostle writes of God's people, in other words, encouraging one another. He says, provoking one another unto love and good works. And what is one of the means by which God's people can do that? It is by worship. Worshiping together with their brethren and sisters in Christ, as he says in verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." And child of God, yes, but you and I attending the place of public worship, not only are we obeying God's will for our lives, and not only will we have fellowship with the Lord, but also we have fellowship with God's people, our brethren and sisters in Christ, and we will be a means of encouragement to them in their Christian life and in their walk with God. People, can I say this morning that with the exception of sickness and works of necessity and mercy, we should do all we can as God's people to be at the place of public worship. That is something we cannot avoid in the psalm before us this morning here in Psalm 122. The whole thrust of this psalm from beginning to end is to encourage God's people to come together to worship the Lord together. You see that all through the psalm. It is something you cannot avoid or escape from the psalm. Look at verse 1 there. You have the mention of the word "they" and the word "us." Those words speak of people together. Those are plural words. Verse 2 says, "our feet." That speaks of God's people meeting together. Look at the mention of the word "tribes" in verse 4. Again, it's in the plural. Again, in verse 6, you have the word "they." It says, "pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Again, speaks of a company of people. Again, you see that same truth in verse 8 of the psalm. We have the mention of the word brethren and companions. Again, it speaks of God's people meeting together in company to worship the Lord. Not as surely as the lesson here that God is setting before us in the words of this psalm in Psalm 122. We're to go with gladness. Yes, by attending the public place of worship, we obey God's will for our lives. We fellowship and we encourage our fellow believers in the Lord. But also as believers, we are to go with determination to our place of public worship. And you see that thought in verse 2 of the psalm, where the psalmist says, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Yes, despite having to travel a long distance by foot, God's ancient people were not going to be deterred from the place of worship. Hence, they say here, "Our feet shall stand." There's determination here. "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." And people, that is how it was with Mary that you read about in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. While her sister Martha was distracted and deterred from worshiping the Savior through much serving, Mary, she made a determined, deliberate choice to worship the Lord on that occasion. We read of Mary, and it says that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. She was the place of worship, worshiping her Lord, worshiping her Savior. And the Lord commends her for that very fact, for He says, "Mary have chosen that good part." Oh, people of God, let us be determined to be at the place of public worship. For such a choice, I tell you, is a good choice. If we allow ourselves to be hindered from the place of worship, even like doubting Thomas in John chapter 20, we rob ourselves of the blessing of fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with His people, the people of God redeemed and saved by sovereign grace. Emphasizing the importance of public worship, Octavius Winslow, a faithful preacher of a bygone day, he said these words. He says, "A neglected sanctuary will soon bring leanness into your soul." That is true, dear people. That's why it's so important that we congregate together to worship the Lord as the people of God. Yes, we see the manner in which the believer is to worship the Lord. But notice, secondly here from the psalm, notice the esteem that the believer is to have for the place of public worship. Look again at verse 3 of the psalm. The psalmist says there, "Jerusalem is builded," it says, "as a city that is compact together." Notice those two words there, compact together. Here David highlights the importance of unity amongst God's people in the place of public worship. "My Jerusalem was a city that was compact together." It was a place where the buildings were close together, close to one another. And David uses that as a thought to highlight the importance of unity amongst God's people in the place of worship. Yes, when God's people meet together for public worship, they are to meet in a spirit of togetherness. They are to meet together in a spirit of unity. That is something God teaches His people throughout the Scriptures. Turn the page in your Bible just over to the next page, to Psalm 133, and you see that thought there very clearly put before us in verse 1 of that little psalm. Psalm 133 in the verse 1. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Something that is pleasing to God when His people meet together with one accord, with that united spirit to worship the Lord. Yes, people of God, when we meet for public worship, we are to unite with our fellow believers. We're to be united in doctrine, in creed, in testimony, in our aspirations and sympathies and burdens for the work of God, be it at home here or further abroad. You think this morning of an orchestra. In an orchestra, yes, there are many, many different types of instruments, all giving off different notes and different sounds. You have the brass section, you have the wind section, you have the percussion section, you have the string section. But whenever those instruments come together in concert under the command of the baton of the conductor, there's a beautiful harmony of music. There's a oneness, there's a blending together, and that it gives a sweet and pleasing sound to the ear. Thus, whenever God says in His Word here in Psalm 133, "Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity," He's highlighting the fact that this is something that is most pleasing to the Lord. And people, can I say, this is how we should come together to worship the Lord in God's house. We should come with that united spirit, that united heart, that united purpose of one accord. Yes, we are all different as believers in many ways. We come from different backgrounds. All of us are different in our personalities. No two of us are the same. But as God's people, we are to be united in our public worship of the Lord. And people, can I say this is vital? If we're to know the blessing of God upon us in our worship. Look again at that little psalm, Psalm 133. It says in verse 1, "Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Look at the final statement of that psalm. It says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." God's blessing is upon His people when they are united together in the public worship of the Lord with one heart, one soul, that spirit of accord and agreement. And people, this is something that is vital to right worship before the Lord. Therefore, as Christians and as believers, we should continually pray for this unity of spirit. We should continually labor for this unity of spirit. It's not something that is just worked up and happens naturally amongst God's people. No, it is something to be guarded, something to labor for, something to pray for as God's people in our local church, in our local assembly. Turn with me over to the New Testament book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 4, and you'll see here how Paul emphasizes this as he writes to God's people in the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1, 2, and 3 highlights this very matter, and it has to be something to be worked at and worked out by God's grace in the life of God's people and the life of the local church. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called," notice it, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring," he says, "to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Then he goes on to speak of that oneness, that one faith, one Lord, one hope, one calling. He says they're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And what is our responsibility regarding that as Christians? Is something we're to pray about? Something we are to guard and protect? And my, we are to treat one another in the Lord, it says there in verse 2, with lowliness, with meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Think of how forbearing God has been toward us as God's people with all our faults and failings and shortcomings. How merciful God has been. And my, we're to follow that very example in our dealings with other believers in the local church, in the local assembly. Yes, David here in the psalm highlights the importance of unity amongst God's people in the place of worship. But you'll notice something else here regarding the esteem the believer is to have for the public place of worship. He also highlights the witness of public worship. Look at verse 4 of the psalm. Psalm 122, verse 4, he says, "Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord." You'll notice there in verse 4, he mentions the testimony of Israel. What is the testimony of Israel? It is but the truth of God, the very truth of God's word. Again, he speaks there of giving thanks unto the name of the Lord. That speaks of praise, the praising of our God. And there we see, dear people, that the primary purpose of our public worship, what is it? It is to hear God's word. It is to hear God's truth. It is to praise God, our maker, our creator, our redeemer, our friend. To praise God in our prayers and to praise God in our singing. And that's something we're taught all through the scriptures. And people, can I say, the preaching of God's word and prayer to God and the singing of God's praises, these are things that must be central in our public worship and our worshiping of the Lord when we come together week by week to that public place to worship the Lord. These are things not to be neglected. These are things not, as it were, to be set aside. These are things that must be prominent in our worship. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. He was to proclaim the truth of God's word. That is a vital part of our worship, the proclaiming of the truth of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Again, you think of what the Lord said to his disciples. He said, men ought always to pray. And in our worship, there is to be that prayer, that seeking of God, that calling upon God for his favor, his blessing, his help. And again, think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 30, verse 4. He's speaking to God's people. He says, oh, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. And we're to sing out the praises of our God. Sing of his mercies. Sing of the wonder of his grace. Tell out the wonder of his salvation and the glories and the splendors of Christ. And people, that is why the singing of God's praises and the singing of psalms and hymns and paraphrases are so vital. So important. Something that is scripture that God tells us to do in our public worship of the Lord. We're to give ourselves to prayer. We're to gather around the Word of God. The Word of God is to be opened and proclaimed and taught and preached. And we're to sing the praises of our God. Then you'll notice something else here in verse 5 of the psalm regarding the esteem the believer is to have of the place of worship. Here you see how David highlights the very fruit of worship itself. For he says in verse 5 of the psalm, he says, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Notice the mention there of the throne, and when we think of God's throne, what do we think of? We think of a throne of justice. We think of a throne of righteousness. Thus, when we worship God and are guided by the truth of his word, then justice and righteousness will mark our lives as God's people. That will be seen in heaven, and that will be the witness of our lives. And as God's people, we will be the salt of the earth. We'll be the light of the world. We will be a witness for God and good in our society day by day in our daily life. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I put the question to you this morning, and the question is this: why is there such a moral decay in our land and in our society at this particular time? I believe of all my heart it is because the place of public worship of God and right worship of God and the Lord's Day, the keeping of the Lord's Day, is being forsaken more and more and more throughout our land and throughout these islands of the British Isles. And where there's a forsaking of public worship, a forsaking of the Lord's Day, there's only one way the nation can go, and that is down. Down spiritually, away from God and away from the things of God. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist of a bygone day, he said these words. He says, show me a nation that has given up the Sabbath, and I will show you a nation that has got the seed of decay. And you know, he was right. God has ordained from the beginning of time
that as people come together to worship, it's vital for our good, for the good of our society, our land, and our nation. And people, by us gathering together here in this very fact, it's a witness to this town, to this community of Enniskillen. Here's the people there on the hill who believe in God, who worship God. It's a witness to those in the houses round about the building here that there's a people in Enniskillen who believe in God, who worship God, who seek God, who pray to God, who praise the Lord. Notice one final thought here from this psalm. Psalm 122. Notice the concern that the believer is to have for the place of worship. And you see that in particular by the opening words there of verse 6 of the psalm. When it says there, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And by the best way that ancient Israel could show their concern for Jerusalem and the place of worship was to pray for it. They were to pray for its peace, its protection, its favor from God, its prosperity from God. Look at verse 7 of the psalm. It says, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Why, they were to pray for God's blessing upon their own people. Look at verse number 8. It says, for my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. And by prayer, they would seek the highest good for God's people and for the place of worship. Verse 9 of the psalm says, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And brethren and sisters in Christ in the meeting house this morning, let me say it's the best way that you and I can show our concern for God's people, and the best way that we can show our concern for public worship is also by prayer, by seeking God and calling upon His name. Yes, we are to pray for God's blessing upon His servants, whoever they are, who faithfully minister God's word and God's truth. Remember what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica? He says, brethren, pray for us. We are to pray for God's blessing upon His own people as redeemed saints of God. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says there to you and I who are saved, praying always, it says, for all sins. Then we're to pray for sinners to be saved, to be converted to God. It says in Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And then we are to pray that God would be glorified in the spreading of His word, in the spreading of His truth. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And look with me there at verse number 1. Look at what Paul asked here of the church at Thessalonica. And it applies to us today here in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church. And at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in the verse 1, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is. With you. And that's one of the things we're to pray. We're to pray for God's blessing upon His servants, upon His people, for the salvation of sinners, but we're to pray that God's name would be honored and glorified in the spreading of His word in hearts and lives and homes and nations. And God's word brings glory to the Lord. The fact that people can read and hear the truth of God's word. This is how we are to pray for the public place of worship, that God's word would be spread, that barriers and hearts and lives would be broken down and taken away, that hearts indeed would be opened up even like Lydia's of old to hear the word of God and to attend unto the word. You look again at verse number 6 there of the psalm. Notice what David says in the latter part of verse number 6. He says, they shall prosper that love thee. And this really speaks of the Lord's blessing upon those who are faithful. Faithful in the place of public worship. Faithful in the place of prayer. Faithful in the support of God's work at home and abroad. David says, they shall prosper that love thee.
In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse number 8, it says there, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And here we have the Lord's promise blessing upon us when, as God's people, we seek first the kingdom of God and the cause of God. And that surely entails the worship of the Lord, the coming together as God's people, as a company of His redeemed, to worship the Lord and gather around His word. God bless us when we're faithful to His work, to His cause and His kingdom. You remember the house of Obed-Edom. In the Old Testament, you read about Obed-Edom, and he allowed the Ark of the Covenant to reside in his own home. And the Ark of the Covenant was central in God's worship of the Old Testament time. And the Ark, yes, it speaks of the Lord's presence. It points to the Lord's Word. Yeah, it points even to Christ Himself. And what do we read in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11? It says, "And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom." It says, "And all his household." God blessed him because he opened up his home on that occasion to the Ark of the Covenant, that which was identified with the worship of God in the Old Testament time, in the Old Testament economy. And brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say this? You and I as believers will never lose out in our homes. We'll never lose out in our families. We'll never lose out in our marriages when we're faithful to God's work, God's cause, God's kingdom, and to the worship of God on earth. Child of God, in these days of great falling away and great apostasy and departure from the things of God, let us seek to be faithful to the worship of God, the public place of worship when God's house is open here for public worship. Let us do what we can to be in our place to worship the Lord. You think of those pillars out there on the steps. They're here every day of the year. They're here every season of the year. They're here in the summertime, in the autumn time, in the winter, in the spring. They're always there. They're always in their place. They don't move. And that's really a picture of us as God's people, how we should be faithful and steadfast in the place of public worship. The Lord says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over." In other words, God blesses His faithful people. And the promise of God in this psalm regarding faithfulness and worship and in His cause and His kingdom is this. At the end of verse 6, it says there, "They shall prosper that love Thee." It's not talking about material prosperity. It's talking there about spiritual prosperity. God prospers, God blesses His people when they are faithful in the place of worship, gathering together with the saints of God, to support the preaching of His Word, to pray, to proclaim the goodness and the grace of God. God's blessing is upon them. Child of God, you'll never lose out by being faithful to God. Young people in the meeting, especially when you get married, set up home, rear a family, be at the public place of worship. When you leave home, maybe go away to university or college, away from home, maybe to some other land, some other country, seek out the company of God's people to worship the Lord together with them. Make it your business to be at the public place of worship, and God will bless you. And God will use you for His honor and glory. And unto a friend in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you are to know God's blessing in your life, if you are to be saved from sin and hell, if you are to worship God aright, then now in time you must repent of your sin, turn by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." You and I can only be saved, we can only have access to God, we can only worship God aright when we're saved, our sins are dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If you're not saved today, trust Christ as your Savior. Lay hold upon Him with the hand of faith. Seek Him for salvation.
And then from this day forth, start serving the Lord. And praise God, in Christ you're able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and prepare for that eternity of worship in heaven when the God's people will gather together around the throne to worship the Lamb forever and ever. Oh, our worship on earth is but a forerunner of that eternal worship and praise of God in heaven. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 621, a great old hymn reminding us of the value and the blessing of the public place of worship. The hymn writer says, "We love the place, O God, wherein thine honor dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels." Hands up, who knows this hymn? Well, there's one or two knows it. I'm going to ask the organist just to play the first verse through, and then after that we'll stand to sing. That's an easy tune, and we'll stand to sing out the hymn in its entirety. But I'll ask the organist just to sing to play the first verse, please. We thank thee for thy presence with us here today. Write the lessons of the psalm upon our heart, upon our soul. Help us, Lord, in these days in which we live, to honor thee, to obey thee, to follow thee fully, even like Caleb of old. Help us to be faithful in our worship of the Lord, and by our testimony in our worship. May Christ be honored and glorified. May others be spoken to, even in this community, and be brought to a saving knowledge, a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to love thee more. Help us to trust thee, to follow thee, to live for thee. And Lord, we just thank thee for all thy many mercies to us today. Take us now to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. Pour out thy Spirit upon us and bless and visit, O God, this vine with thy salvation. We pray and we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.